Morning, everyone. Thank you very much to Tyler and John, the whole MLI community, for inviting me today. It's a real pleasure to be here. I'm Todd Wenning. I'm a senior investment analyst at Ensemble Capital Management. A little bit about Ensemble. We're based in San Francisco. I'm actually working out of Cincinnati, Ohio. I've been working there remote out of my house for 4.5 years, long before the pandemic. So happy to talk about that arrangement. I know people have asked about that this weekend already. Our firm has about $1.6 billion in AUM as of the end of the quarter. About $1.2 of that is in our equity strategy. Our equity strategy is to own about 15 to 30 great businesses and own them for the long term. A little bit about our approach, our philosophy. It's really based on three tiers. We have to have all these things in place, otherwise we don't invest. So that's great moat, great management team, and a forecastable business. It's probably not foreign to a lot of folks here today. So I'm here to talk about Masimo. It's a US healthcare company, about $7 billion market cap. And I'm gonna start at the end. So this is roughly where the stock is today. This was about 2 weeks ago. So I think it's actually about 117 today, but it was up in about $300 at one point. And prior to its most recent earnings, the worst day I'd ever had in the market was down 14% going back to 2007. And after its fourth quarter earnings in February, it fell 35% in a day. It had nothing to do with the core business, which we'll talk about, and everything to do with an acquisition. So this is a classic razor and blade business model. So Masimo makes non-invasive sensors that take highly accurate readings, most notably your oxygen saturation, pulse ox. And they also do hemoglobin and other metrics that allow doctors to non-invasively and continuously and importantly, highly accurately monitor a patient's well-being. Prior to Masimo's highly accurate sensors coming out, the alternatives were not great. The accuracy was very low, a lot of false positives, a lot of true negatives. And so doctors would have to, especially in emergency ICU situations, they'd have to actually draw blood from the patient, which is not good for the patient, it's not good for the doctor, it's not good for anybody. So patients have come to rely on Masimo and doctors and hospitals. And so the razor part of the business are these technology boards and monitors, and they have about a 10-year contract life. The boards go into OEM products like Philips or GE, or they sell you the monitor itself. And then the blades are these disposable sensors. 90% of them are disposable, and there's another 10% which are reusable for about 6 months. But the sensors are changed out every week or every patient. And typically, it's about 50 sensors per driver per year used in the hospital. And this is their installed base. I mean, it's a really, really steady annuity business. It took hospitals a long time to begin to use non-invasive sensor readings in the ICU emergency settings. And that's pretty much 100% penetrated now. But we're seeing, especially you see that spike in 2020-21 post-COVID, hospitals have increasingly used continuous monitoring of patients in the general floor. Prior to COVID, it was about 10% penetration, and now it's about 30%. So hospitals are increasingly monitoring you from the time you enter to the time you leave, and we'll talk about in a minute, possibly after you go home as well. One of the things we love about Masimo is its corporate culture. It's founder-led. Joe Kiani founded the company. He has an engineering background. He owns 7% of the business himself. And they take a very first principles approach to solving really tough healthcare problems. An example of the pulse ox, you know, they were able to solve this really tough problem when other established competitors were not. They were not seeking these first principle approaches. And we think, we've been to the campus, we've talked to the management team and other employees, and they really have what we call a founder's pedigree. All their employees are there, not just for pay, obviously, but for real challenges and solving tough problems. And we saw this clearly during COVID. This was in March 2020, when hospitals were being flooded with patients and hospitals had to triage to the most critical patients. And so Masimo came up with this wrist-worn sensor that you can monitor a patient remotely from their house or from a field hospital next to the main hospital. And this allowed hospitals to monitor patients. So if you went home, you wouldn't have to worry that you might crash overnight. The hospital's monitoring you. They can tell you to come back right away. And this was something that they created in a couple of weeks. Got FDA approval, emergency use approval. Thousands of hospitals were interested, and a couple hundred actually started using it. And thankfully, the sort of rush that we had in those early days of COVID died down, and there wasn't as much of an intense need for this type of product, but it established the form factor, and it established the continuous monitoring at home, which hospitals have come to like quite a bit. So why did it fall 35%? So on the same day as fourth quarter earnings, which were very good, by the way, for the core business, they announced a $1.025 billion acquisition of Sound United, which is a consumer audio business, which, yes, that took us by surprise as well. We knew that Masimo wanted to get into the consumer space. They had a few consumer products, but they had trouble getting into the Best Buys, the Costcos of the world. They didn't have those customer relationships. So buying Sound United, and Sound United makes products like Boston Acoustics, Polk, Bowers & Wilkins, and Denon, some of these high-end acoustics, and it's in connectivity technology, which we think, the more we dug into it, the more we thought this actually might make a little bit of sense, but it's a hard pill to swallow. We think what really hurt the company that day was a failure of communication. This was their biggest acquisition ever. They combined the acquisition announcement with earnings and didn't hold a separate conference. And they were also kind of unclear about what they were doing. So the CEO on the call said that he has been a longtime audiophile. And so naturally, you might get a little concerned that this might be a pet project for him, you know, owning some of these great brands that he grew up with. He told us that was not what he meant, but that was what was heard by the market. And they also were very vague about what they were planning to do in the first place. They said, you know, we wish you could share what our vision is, but we're going to hold off until the deal closes, and we're going to have an investor day later in the summer and give you some more tough or clear products that we're doing. And so there's lack of cost synergies, and you know, they're moving into a more competitive market. So naturally, investors got concerned. A lot of people sold first, asked questions later. Hopefully, fortunately, you know, we know the company well, and we decided to start asking a lot of questions first. And we think we've come up with a good step in the right direction. So first of all, you have this convergence of medical device and consumer wearables. And we're seeing this. Apple is becoming more blurry in terms of moving from wellness to health. Bose is interested in this space. You're seeing, especially in the over-the-counter hearing aids, Bose is getting into that. Sonova acquired Sennheiser. So we think there's a huge opportunity for Masimo with their core signal extraction understanding, which is very similar. So whether it's light going through your fingertip or light going through your ear or audio waves, it's a very similar technology. And their expertise in sound extraction or signal extraction can serve them well in the hearing aid space. And that's a very, very big market. We also think, importantly, Masimo, unlike the consumer brands, which are trying to become more medical in nature, Masimo has that established relationships with the hospitals, with doctors, and with regulators, and they can create more medical-grade products for consumers. But we think a huge, huge opportunity is continuous monitoring of patients post-discharge. In the U.S., the unfortunate truth is that 6 out of 10 U.S. adults have at least one chronic illness, and they come to the hospital more frequently than the rest of the group. And that has a huge cost effect on the system. And in the U.S., if you are discharged from a hospital and come back within 30 days and are readmitted for the same ailment, Medicare and Medicaid, the reimbursement, they do not like that. And there are penalties levied against the entire hospital for their total reimbursement, not just that patient's, but the total hospital. So we think there's a huge opportunity for Masimo to use this audio technology and visual technology and connectivity at the home to be able to continuously monitor patients post-discharge and be able to talk with patients, tell them, see how their drugs are interacting, if they're not working, if they're not improving, if their rehabilitation is not going well. They're able to give them advice while they're at home and hopefully help them get better rather than having them come back to the hospital and get readmitted. So there's a huge financial incentive for hospitals to start using this technology. And here's a big bonus optionality. So Masimo sued Apple in 2020. Masimo and Apple were apparently, this is Masimo's story, were working together on sensors for the Apple Watch. And rather than work together, allegedly, Apple hired away two of Massimo's key employees, and in a couple of quarters introduced the pulse oximeter on the Apple 6 watch. So Massimo has a great, great track record of defending its intellectual property and trade secrets. And they've won royalties from Medtronic and agreements from Philips in the past. And when you consider the scale of the Apple wearables, even if Massimo got just a small amount of each sale, that could be a huge royalty to Massimo's bottom line. So for reference, Massimo's net income last year was $250 million. We think the settlement could be anywhere between $50 and $200 million. It could be a material impact on Massimo's profitability. So finally, just from a valuation standpoint, we think the core business is undervalued right now. There's just some metrics on how the business shapes up margin-wise. 70% gross margin, 30% operating margin. That's where they're trying. That's where they're aiming to get. They're a little off that right now, but that's the focus. About 8 to 10% product growth. We think that's very, very doable. They have more products coming out. And we think the PE, which is currently about 27 times on the whole business, actually makes it a very attractive idea from a valuation perspective. And you have all this optionality thrown in. So if you could get comfortable with the core business, with the valuation, and what they're doing on the acquisition side, we think it's a great time to look at Massimo for the first time or take another look at it if you thought it was too expensive in the past. So with that, happy to take any questions, and you can feel free to, if I don't get to your question, you can send us a message on our Twitter, and I'll be happy to respond to you.
Hi, thanks, Todd. You mentioned in the core areas, some of the competitors are not solving these problems as effectively. Right. Just wonder if you've got any insights on that. Is it perhaps to do with cannibalization of their existing product ranges and so on?
So the main competitor in the hospital space is Nellcor, which is owned by Medtronic. And they have historically not made that a key focus. So they have a product that they kind of add to their total bundle that they sell to hospitals. But their accuracy is still very low and actually very, very not, yeah, very low. Massimo's actually improved their false alarm rate. They cut it in half from 3% to 1.5%, which may seem kind of silly, but when you think about, I don't know if you've been on an ICU floor or an emergency floor, alarms are going off all the time. And if you're a nurse, that's very, very draining. And so that's one of the kind of problems they're trying to address is, trying to make the nurses and doctors' lives a lot easier. And so we think going back to that first principles approach that they take, that's how they can stand apart from the rest of the group. Medtronic just does not seem to invest as much R&D in the space to try to compete with Massimo and try to get their accuracy lower. This is Massimo's core business, so they're totally focused on that. And they've just been stealing share from Medtronic for a long time.
We'll have to leave it there.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.